Chapter 34, A Plea for Unity. Manuscript 52, 1904. A sermon preached May 22, 1904, in Burien Springs, Michigan. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. John 17:1-6. What a glorious commendation! They have kept thy word. To have these words said of us would be a great honor. But too often self comes in. Self strives for the mastery. This was Christ's last prayer with his disciples. It was offered just before he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was to be betrayed and taken. When he reached Gethsemane, he fell prostrate on the ground in an agony of distress. What caused his agony? The weight of the sins of the whole world were resting upon his soul. As we study this prayer, let us remember that it was just before this experience, and just before his betrayal and trial, that these words were uttered. In Gethsemane, Christ felt that he was being separated from his Father. The gulf was so broad, so black, so deep, that his spirit shuddered before it. This agony he must not exert his divine power to escape. As man, he must suffer the consequence of man's sin. As man, he must endure the wrath of God. Behold him contemplating the price to be paid for the human soul. In his agony, he clings to the cold ground, as if to prevent himself from being drawn further from God. The chilling dew of night falls upon his prostrate form, but he heeds it not. From his pale lips comes the bitter cry, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet even now he adds, Nevertheless, not as I will, but that as thou wilt. The human heart longs for sympathy in suffering. This longing Christ felt to the very depths of his being, and he went to the place where he had left his disciples. Had he found them praying, he would have been relieved, but they were asleep. They could give him no comfort. Once more after this, he came to them, but again he found them asleep. Turning away, Jesus sought his retreat and fell prostrate, overcome by the horror of a great darkness. The humanity of the Son of God trembled in that trying hour. He prayed not now for his disciples that their faith might not fail, but for his own tempted, agonized soul. The awful moment had come, that moment which was to decide the destiny of the world. The fate of humanity trembled in the balance. Christ might even now refuse to drink the cup apportioned to guilty men. It was not yet too late. He might wipe the bloody sweat from his brow and leave man to perish in his iniquity. He might say, Let the transgressor receive the penalty of his sin, and I will go back to my Father. Will the Son of God drink the bitter cup of humiliation and agony? Will the innocent suffer the consequences of the curse of sin to save the guilty? The words fall tremblingly from the pale lips of Jesus. O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, Thy will be done. He accepts his baptism of blood, that through him perishing millions may gain everlasting life. He has left the courts of heaven where all is purity, happiness, and glory, to save the one lost sheep, the one world, that has fallen by transgression. And he will not turn from his mission. He will become the propitiation of a race that has willed to sin. Thus the Son of God gave himself for us, the sinless for the sinful, that we might not perish. Let us think of the suffering that he endured for us, and as we think of it, let us remember that we are to be partakers of this suffering, that we may finally share in his glory. If any man will come after me, he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How much have we suffered for Christ and for our fellow beings? As we have gone from place to place and have seen the need and the sinfulness of humanity, have we been willing to endure self-denial and privation for others? And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me. And they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me. For they are Thine, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verses 5-10. Do we come short of this? Do we, by refusing to follow Christ in self-denial and sacrifice, fail of glorifying God? Are we willing to lift the cross? Are we willing to die to self to be crucified with Christ? We must share with the Redeemer in his suffering before we can enter the city of our God. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil.